The third flash. Emotion and spiritual pleasure have become mixed in this flash to an extent. And since their exuberance does not much heed the principles of the intellect and the scales of thought, nor conform to them, it should not be weighed up on the scales of logic. In the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Compassionate, everything shall perish save His countenance. His is the command, and to Him shall you return. Quran Surah 28, verse 88. The two phrases, the enduring one, He is the enduring one, the enduring one, He is the enduring one, express the meaning of the above verse, and so to state two important truths. It is because of this that some of the chiefs of the Naqshbandi order made themselves a special invocation with a repetition of the phrases in the form of a concise Naqshi supplication. Seeing that the two phrases express the meaning of the above almighty verse, so we shall explain several points concerning the significant truth they state. First point. The first time the enduring one, He is the enduring one, is recited, like a surgical operation, it severs and isolates the heart from everything other than Allah. It is as follows. In respect of the comprehensiveness of his nature, man is connected with virtually all beings, and in addition, a boundless capacity to love has been included in his nature. For these reasons, man nurtures love towards all beings. As he loves the huge world as though it were a house, so he loves eternal paradise as though it were a garden. However, the beings he loves do not stop, they depart, and he constantly suffers the pain of separation. That boundless love of his becomes the means of boundless torment. The fault in suffering such torment is his, for his heart's infinite capacity to love was given so that he might direct it toward one possessing an infinite, undying beauty. By misusing it and spending it on transitory beings, he has done wrong and suffers the punishment for his fault due to the pain of separation. Thus, the first time he utters, the enduring one, he is the enduring one, it severs his attachment to the transitory beings. He leaves those objects of love before they leave him, and he is thus cleared of his fault. It declares that love is restricted to the enduring beloved, and expresses this meaning. The only truly enduring one is you. Everything other than you is transient. One that is transient certainly cannot be the object of attachment for my heart, which was created for everlasting love, for ardor lasting from pre-eternity to post-eternity. Since those innumerable beloveds are transitory, and they leave me and depart, before they do so, declaring, the enduring one, you are the enduring one, I shall leave them. Only you are immortal. And I know and believe that beings can only be immortal by your making them so. In which case, they should be loved with your love. They are not otherwise worthy of the heart's attachment. When in this state, man's heart gives up innumerable objects of love. Seeing the stamp of transitoriness on their beauty and loveliness, it severs its attachment to them. If it does not sever it, it suffers wounds to the number of its beloveds. The second, the enduring one, he is the enduring one, is both a salve and an antidote for those wounds. That is, O enduring one, since you are enduring, that is sufficient. You take the place of everything. Since you exist, everything exists. Yes, the beauty, bounty, and perfection in beings, which are the cause of love, are generally signs of the truly enduring one's beauty and bounty and perfections. And passing through many veils, are pale shadows of them. Indeed, they are the shadows of the manifestations of his most beautiful names. A second point. Included in human nature is an intense love. Even because of the power of imagination, man fancies a sort of immortality in everything he loves. Whenever he thinks of or sees their passing, he cries out from the depths of his being. All lamentations at separation are interpretations of the weeping resulting from love of immortality. If there was no imagined immortality, there would be no love. It might even be said that a reason for the existence of the internal realm and everlasting paradise is the intense desire for immortality arising from that passionate love of immortality and from the innate and general prayer for immortality. The Enduring One of Glory accepted man's intense, unshakable, innate desire and his powerful, effective general prayer, for he created for transient man an eternal realm. Is it at all possible that the munificent and compassionate Creator would accept the insignificant wish of a tiny stomach and its supplication through the tongue of disposition for a temporary immortality through creating innumerable sorts of delicious foods, and not accept the intense desires of all mankind, which arises from an overpowering innate need and mankind's universal, constant, rightful, just prayer for immortality, offered through word and state? Allah forbid, 100,000 times. It is impossible that he would not accept it. Not to accept it would be in keeping with neither his wisdom, nor his justice, nor his mercy, nor his power. Since man is most desirous of all immortality, all his perfections and pleasures are dependent on immortality. And since immortality is particular to the Enduring One of Glory, and since the Enduring One's names are enduring and immortal, and since the Enduring One's mirrors take on the hue of the Enduring One and reflect his decree and manifest a sort of immortality, for sure the matter most important for man, his pressing duty, is to form a relation with the Enduring One and to adhere to his names. For everything expended on the way of the Enduring One receives a sort of immortality. Thus, the second, the Enduring One, he is the Enduring One, expresses this truth. In addition to healing man's innumerable spiritual wounds, it satisfies the intense wish for immortality inherent in his nature. Third point. In this world, the effects of time on things and on their transience and passing differ greatly. And while beings are one within the other like concentric circles, they are different as regards the speed of their passing. Just as the hands of a clock, counting the seconds, and those counting the minutes, hours, and days, superficially resemble each other, but differ in respect to speed, so too the spheres of the body, soul, heart, and spirit in man differ from each other. For example, the body possesses an immortality, a life, and an existence in the present day, and even in the present hour, while its past and future are dead and non-existent. Yet the sphere of the existence and life of the heart extends from many days previous to the present day and to many days in the future. Then the sphere of the spirit is vast. The sphere of its life and existence extends from years previous to the present day to years subsequent to it. Thus, due to this capacity, in respect of knowledge, love, and worship of Allah the Sustainer, and the pleasure of that most merciful one, from which spring the life of the heart and spirit, transient life in this world contains within it a perpetual life, results in an eternal life, and resembles everlasting life. Yes, 1 second on the way of love, knowledge, and pleasure of the truly enduring one is a year. While if it is not on his way, a year is a second. A single second even on his way is immortal and many years. 100 years of the people of neglect in regard to this world are like a single second. There is a famous saying, "A moment's separation lasts a year, and a year's union passes as swiftly as a moment." I say the complete opposite to this. A moment's union for Allah's sake, within the Enduring One of Glory's pleasure, is a window of union. Not only a year, it is a permanent window. While not 1 year, but perhaps 1,000 years spent in heedlessness and misguidance pass in an instant. There is a saying more famous than the previous one that corroborates this. The broad earth with enemies becomes like a cup, while the eye of a needle with friends becomes like a broad arena. An explicit meaning of the first well-known saying above is this. Since the union with transitory beings is transient, however long it is, it seems brief. A year of such union is fleeting as a second, and is an illusion, a dream, causing regret and sorrow. The human heart, which desires immortality, can only receive in 1 year's union the tiniest pleasure within a fraction of a second. And 1 moment's separation is like not 1 year, but many. For the arena of separation is broad. Even if only for a second, separation inflicts years of destruction on the heart, which yearns for eternity. For it bodes of innumerable separations, while for physical and lowly loves, the past and future are filled with separations. In connection with this matter, we say this: O man, do you want to make your brief and useless life immortal, long, beneficial and fruitful? Since to want is demanded by humanity, spend your life on the way of the truly enduring one. For everything turned to the enduring one receives the manifestation of immortality. Since everyone strongly desires a long life and yearns for immortality, and since there is a means of transforming this fleeting life into perpetual life, and it is possible to make it lengthy, for sure, anyone who has not lost his humanity will seek out the means and try to convert the possibility into reality and will act accordingly. Yes, the means is this: work for Allah's sake, meet with others for Allah's sake, labour for Allah's sake, act within the sphere of for Allah, for Allah's sake, on account of Allah. Then all the moments of your life will become like years. Alluding to this truth, verses of the Quran point out that a single night, such as the night of power, are 1,000 months, that is, around 80 years. Also alluding to this truth is the expansion of time, a tried principle among the people of sainthood and reality, through the mystery of which a few minutes' ascension become like many years and prove the existence of this truth and demonstrate it in fact. The few hours of the ascension of the Prophet, peace be upon him, had the length, breadth, and comprehensiveness of thousands of years. For by way of it, he entered the world of eternity, and a few minutes of that world comprise thousands of years of this world. Besides this, there are numerous occurrences of the expansion of time experienced by the saints, constructed on this truth. It is related that some saints did a day's work in a single minute. Some performed the duties of a year in an hour and recited the whole Quran in the space of a minute. Such voracious people of truth would never knowingly stoop to lying. There can be no doubt that they observed exactly the fact of the expansion of time, which is thus numerously and unanimously reported. Footnote number 2. The verses. Said one of them, "How long have we stayed here?" They said, "We have stayed perhaps a day, or part of a day." Surah 18, verse 19. And so, they stayed in their cave 300 years, and some had 9 more. Surah 18, verse 25. Point to the traversing of time, while a verse, "Verily, a day in the sight of your sustainer is like 1,000 years of your reckoning." Surah 22, verse 47, points to the expansion of time. A sort of expansion of time, confirmed by everyone, is experienced in dreams. Sometimes a day in the waking world, or many days, would be necessary to experience the happenings, words, pleasures, and pains experienced in a minute's dream. In short, for sure, man is transitory, but he was created for immortality and to be the mirror to the enduring one, and he was charged with duties which produce enduring fruits, and was given a form which is the means to manifesting the impresses of an enduring one's enduring names. In which case, the true duty and happiness of man is to cling with all his powers and faculties to the names of that eternally enduring one, within the bounds of those things that please him. It is to be turned towards him and to go to him. As man's tongue utters the enduring one, "You are the enduring one," so his heart, spirit, mind, and all his subtle faculties should declare, "He is the enduring one. He is the pre-eternal and post-eternal. He, the everlasting one. He is the perpetual one. He is the sought one. He is the beloved. He is the one wished for, the one worshipped. Glory be unto you. We have no knowledge save that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are all-knowing, all-wise. Quran, Surah 2, verse 32. O our Sustainer, do not take us to task if we forget or do wrong. Quran, Surah 2, verse 282.